Okay, Chizkuni, Parshas, Ekev. Not a whole lot of Chizkuni on this Parsha, but we'll do what we can. So, towards the beginning, in Pasuk Chaf, we have that Hashem is going to beat their enemies, and it says, Gam asat tzira yishalach Hashem elokecha b'am. Hashem will also send the tzira on them. So what's the tzira? So, we know Rashi says there's this kind of beetle that would shoot this stuff that would make them blind. But the Chizkuni says it was a type of tzaras. He would make them get tzaras. Okay, just interesting, different shot. Then we have something very interesting. It says in Pasuk Chafei that when you get, when you conquer the Goyim that you're going to conquer, P'silei Elohim tisrefun ba'ish. Lo sachmor kesev azav aleihem. So their idols you should burn in the fire. Don't be jealous or desirous of, really it means, the kesef and zav that is on them. That means to say these idols were made of kesef azav, or they had kesef azav on them, they were offered to them, something like that. It was avodah zara, that's the point. The kesef and zav were avodah zara. So you have to burn it. Now, if you know anything about hilchos avodah zara, you don't always have to burn things. It depends who owns it. If it's owned by a guy, so then the guy could be mevatel it. And you can even force a guy to be mevatel as avodah zara. That means that the guy says, I declare this not a god to me. Even if you force him to do it, it counts. So why do you got to burn it? Why don't they just get the Knanim to be mevatel it? The answer is, this is based on a Gemara, that since when the Jews worshipped the eagle, so they said they were interested in these avodah zaras. Right when they worshipped Ada, they were showing that they were interested in avodah zara. And since Eretz Yisrael was considered already becheskas the Jews, because Hashem gave it to them already, it made it as if, to an extent, they owned the idol, and therefore, once a Jew owns the idol, you can't be mevatel it; it has to be burnt. So that's why they had to burn it. And then, based on this, that all of this is, don't be jealous or the desires of the stuff you got to burn. And then it goes on in Perek Ches, first pasuk, it's right after that. It's you have to burn these idols. Don't bring it into your house. And then Kala Mitzvah Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom Tishmurun Lasos. He says is Lo Sachmor. Like, don't be jealous of these things that you're not able to keep. And then it goes on, thinking about, remember, I gave you the man, and I gave you your clothing, meaning like, trust in Hashem. Hashem will give you what you need. And don't go after these idols, even though there's a lot of money there. Then we have the famous Pasuk in Pasuk Yod, V'achaltem Zvata V'irachta. Now here he brings a very interesting drasha. This, the Torah Tamima brings this from the Abu Draham, but we have it here in the Chizkuni. It says, V'achaltem Zvata V'irachta, Al Ha'aretz, I'm sorry, V'achaltem Zvata V'irachta. Es Hashem Elokecha. Okay, so we learn from Chalta V'Savat V'Rachta that there are three brachos, and it's the V'Rachta Es Hashem Elokecha that he has a very interesting drasha. Es, we know, is to be marba something, right? Kabit Es Avicha V'Es Yimecha, and includes the older brother. Es includes something tufel to the original, and it's marba it. So he says, what's a V'Rachta Es Hashem Elokecha? That's Larabos Balabayas. We got that? That means if you eat, you're a guest at someone's house, the Gemara says you're supposed to bless the balabayas in benching. So the Gemara has a whole nusach of Yirotzun, Shlayovish, balabayas, balamazev, and all that whole thing. Some people say that. Some people just say, Harachem and Yivirechas, balabayas, Ves balasbayas. Whichever you do, you're supposed to bless the balabayas. So the Chizkuni says it's, the way he's saying it, it's a daraisa. I don't know if it really is a daraisa, but whatever it is, that's what he says. It's Virachtas, Hashem Elokecha. The S is Larabos Balabayas. You have to bless Hashem. And S, in other words, Hashem really gives you the food. And S, the one who's tuffle to it, is the Shliach, which is the Balabayas you're eating by. You also have to bless him for giving you the food. That's Larabos Balabayas. Very interesting. Okay, then we have Moshe telling over the story that I went up to Har Sinai, and then you guys sinned with the eagle, and I broke the Luchos in front of you. Which the Chizkuni says on the Pasuk of Ashabrim Leinechem, I'm broken in front of you, that's Shelo Lechayv Echem. So you shouldn't be Chayv, because the Lucho said on them, Lo Yelachim Acherim Al Panai, and you guys made the Egel. So I broke it in front of you, so you shouldn't be Chayv. This is an answer to, you know, the Chizkuni did the same thing about this, but this is an answer. You know, the last Pasuk of the Torah is Le'enei Kol Yisrael, right? That's the last words of the Torah. That Le'enei Kol Yisrael, which Rashi there says, means that Moshe broke the Luchos, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, and Hashem says, That's like the last Rashi and Chumash, and it's always bothered me. Like, that's a very sad. Usually, we don't end things on a sad note. That's a sad way to end the Torah. That Moshe broke the luchos, and Hashem said, "Yashakach Hashashibarta." How is that a happy thing to end the Torah on? But with this Chizkuni, it's very good because it was Shalom al Chayvichem. It was for your good. It shows that Hashem loves you. Moshe loved you. Hashem loved you. In other words, Moshe did it, and Hashem said, "Yashakachacha." So you see, Hashem loves you even in sin. And that's a happy way to end the Torah. I read this concept, not about the Chizkuni, but this concept from Moshe Weinberger. He wasn't quoting a Chizkuni; he was basing it on another Rashi. But it's the same idea. It's really ending with the love of Klal Yisrael. Okay, now we have something to me that is very unclear. And you have in Pasuk Yerches, it says, "Va'es Napal." Lifnei Hashem Karishona Arboim Yom Arboim Laila. And then I fell in front of God, like I did originally, 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo chalti, mayim lo shetzisi. I didn't eat and drink all 40 days. Akol chatatzchem asher chatatzchem. Lasos rabbi nei Hashem lekecha lachiso. So it sounds like, and this is what we're all familiar with, there were 40 days that Moshe was up to get the Torah, 40 days that he was up there davening for Klal Yisrael, and then 40 days that he was up there a third time, to get the Luchos Shnios. Okay? So the Chizkuni is very clear here that there was no up there in the middle. There was up there for the first 40 and the last 40. The middle 40, he was not up anywhere. He was down here, down davening. He, remember, he was not to Olo Michutz Lo. He took the Olmoid and put a Chutz Lamachana, and everyone should come to him who needs anything. He davened those 40 days in the Olmoid, and he was not on top of the Har Sinai during those middle 40 days when he was davening for them. Okay, it sounds like, again, you can please look at this yourself, sounds to me that he was fasting, that means those 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights, a little too long to fast, it's impossible. I mean, when you're up in Shemayim, makes perfect sense, okay, because you're up in Shemayim, so everything's nace and you're not human, and okay, we understand that. That he was in Ol Moed fasting 40 days and 40 nights, a little hard to understand, unless, again, it was also an ace. But what's, again, hard to understand for me, again, unless I read something wrong, is later on, the Chizkuni says that there's a minig to fast, this is in Perek Yud Pasuk Hey, there's a minig to fast Bahab from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until Yom Kippur. There's a minig some have to fast Bahab. I don't know who has this minig, but there's a minig of people at some point anyway to fast Monday, Thursday, Monday from Rosh Chodesh Sivan till Tishrei, and this is a zecher to Moshe. Why? Because he explains that Moshe started his fast on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It's based on a Gemara, and the Chizkuni does the cheshbonos of all this, how it works out, that it started on a Monday, then the middle one when he went back up the second time, that is Rosh Chodesh Elul or Chavtes Av, whatever. He went up the second time. That's when that was a Thursday. And then when he came down, a Monday again. So you have the fasting starting on a Monday, starting up again on a Thursday, and then ending on a Monday. So that's your Bahab. But that means there was no starting again in the middle. So I'm not sure how that works. But again, it's Mashma here, and this first Pasuk that he was fasting those 40 days. Later on, it's Mashma he was started fasting again on Chavtes Av. So I don't know how to square those two together. But either way, what is clear is that he was not up in the mountain those 40 days, according to the Chizkuni. Rather, he was downstairs. It just comes out from, again, the Chizkuni is saying he was in the Ol Moed. Rashi sounds like he went up three times. So it just comes out interesting, like Rashi, and this the Mizrahi points out, that when were the Jews forgiven, right? They come down on Yom Kippur, and Hashem says, Salachti Kivarecha. Okay, so what exactly happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul, where he went up, and, right, that was the end of the 40 days, and that's when they were supposed to be forgiven. So, you know, so why isn't Yom Kippur on Rosh Chodesh Elul? So the Mizrahi says, because the Hashem was just Nisratza on Rosh Chodesh Elul to give them the Torah again, but he wasn't Mochel on the Avera until Yom Kippur. Okay, that's what happened. Now, this is something, next thing I'm going to tell you is I don't know, just sounds, it's wild. Perek Yud, Pasuk Beis. Hashem tells Moshe, Vechtov al Aluchos, Hadvar Mashar Ayu, Aluchos Rishnim Moshe rewrote the Luchos. V'samtam ba'aron. Hashem tells Moshe, put them in the aron. You ready for this? Why? V'lo tiyu nosim od al yadecha v'lo yiyu mitzuyus l'cha l'shabreim. K'mo achiris. Put them in an ark, Moshe, so you don't break them again. I kid you. I'm just shocking. Hashem didn't want Moshe to have the ability to break them again because Moshe could be in Kanoas and break them. Hashem didn't want them broken again. He had Rachmanos and Klai Yisrael, so he wanted them put in an Aron. That's why they got put in an Aron. I don't recall that shot, but I mean, it's amazing. Okay. Then we have this story about Aron dying, right? It said in Pasuk Vav, B'nei Yisrael, Nasu mi Beiros, B'nei Akan. And it says, Mosera Sham Aaron Veikaver Sham. So Rashi tells us that that's not exactly how it worked. It was Aaron died in Hor HaHar, right? So, and then it's just that they went back 8 masos when they saw Aaron died, so they went back 8 masos. And then Rashi says, and in Mosera they made an Avil Kavid al Misaso Shel Aaron. They made this big Avilos on Misaso Shel Aaron. So the Rashi has it because they got in a fight with B'nai Levi who ran after them. And therefore a lot of people died. So when they got to Mosera, they made an avil on Aaron's death that caused them this whole story. The Chizkuni's version of this is that since Aaron was buried Behor HaHar, they could see him pretty far out. So they went back 8 masos, they could still see. Once they got to the last one, 8 masos, they couldn't see him anymore. And that's why there they made a big avil on him, because since they couldn't see him anymore, that's why they started an avil. That's from the Medrash, he says. Okay, then we have in Perek Yud Aleph, Hashem is saying, love Hashem your God, remember what he did for you. This my osos and mobsim did in Mitzrayim and Pasik Dal Vashir Osa Lachel Mitzrayim, what he did to the soldiers of Mitzrayim. The Susav, the Richbo, Asher Hitif, Esmei Yamsuf al Pneim. He caused the Mei Yamsuf to go on them, Berudfa Macharechem, when they were chasing after you. But Yaabdim Hashem, Hashem destroyed them ad Hayom Hazeh. Look at Unkelus. Unkelus says, I'm sorry, not Unkelus here. I'm looking at the wrong thing. In Az Yashir, it says Neremu Mayim. So if you look at Unkelus there, Unkelus on the pasuk of Ruach Abacha Neremu Mayim says Chakimu Maya. The water, like from Arum, like the Nachosh is Arum Mikol Chayasa Sadeh. That's how the Chizkuni understands it. The water, like Chakimu, the water got smart. What does it mean the water got smart? The water chased after the Mitzrim. So in other words, as the Mitzrim were trying to run away, the water got smart and chased after them. That's what it means to remember. Okay. Now we have the talk of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa Tamid Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba. Hashem's eyes is always in Eretz Yisrael. Mereishis Hashana V'Nachar Hashana. Hashem is always protecting Eretz Yisrael. Okay. His eyes are always on it. So that sounds like a positive, right? The Chizkuni says, Doresh Osa. What does it mean, Doresh Osa? Lifkod es yoshveh ledaktik ma'aseim. Not 100% great. Hashem's presence is always there. So the people who are living there have to be extra careful because Hashem is looking at the people living there to be medaktik in the ma'aseim. It's like the Ramban says, you're in the Heichal HaMelech, in the king's palace. So an avir there is worse, a mitzvah there is greater. Hashem is always being medaktik in ma'aseim. There's a famous shla that says, why is Eretz Canaan called in the Torah Eretz Canaan periodically, even after the Jews conquered it? It's still called Eretz Canaan, even though it's like, that'd be like calling America the 13 colonies. It's not 13 colonies anymore. How come the Pasuk continues to call Eretz Yisrael occasionally Eretz Canaan? So the Shlo says, because Canaan comes from Hachna. People who live there have to live with Hachna, with subjugation to Hashem, because Hashem is Dorish Oso Tamid, is always being metaktik b'maaseim. Okay, and we have also, just in the pasuk in the Vehayim Shemoa, it says Yishamru lechem peniftel avavchem esartem avadatem alhim achareim, and you will worship other gods. So he brings that Rabbi Yossi Omer. Why are they called Elohim, other gods, alhim achareim? So he says because if people would say if you would call it Elohim then they would work or then they'd have tzorech and they don't because we call them Elohim Achirim and it doesn't mean anything. And why is it called Achirim? This is the point I'm getting to. because they become acherim. What does it mean? Because the people who have golden idols, if they need money, they sell the golden idol, they make it into a silver idol. They need some more money, they sell the silver idol, make it into a copper idol. So that's what it means, Elohim acherim, because they're made out of fancy stuff usually, so they become acherim. And if you need the money, you sell them. It's just like kind of making fun of them. Okay, that's it. We'll stop here.